David Pogue is back on the show today. David was just on with us last month talking about his latest book called Pogue's Basics Money. But he's not just writing books. He's also the head of the Yahoo Tech division of Yahoo and is also working for CBS Sunday Morning. And he also has occasional specials for PBS on their Nova show, including a new one called Search for the Super Battery. That's coming up this Wednesday night on Channel 9 here in St. Louis and across the PBS network on the rest of the country. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Let's start off with something I'm very happy to announce, which is that you just renewed your contract with Yahoo.
I did. It strikes a lot of people as peculiar and funny, and wait, aren't they going under, and aren't they getting bought, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, in fact, it's the fact that they're getting bought by Verizon is, to me, great news. It just means that Yahoo will be another property like the other things that Verizon has bought, AOL and the Huffington Post and Mashable and so on, that no longer has money worries. They keep right on publishing just without the money worries. So
that's good.
How I see it.
That's good when you have a boss who's not worried about money. That's a rarity in business these days.
That is indeed.
All right, so the new special, which airs Wednesday night, Search for the Super Battery. It's not a superhero comic book thing, is it?
No, it's not.
What's a super battery?
Well, it turns out that this show, we started making it a year ago, and at the time, the thrust of the show was that batteries are becoming ever more important to us, and we're not talking about just our phone batteries. We're also talking about, you know, electric cars will never really take off until we get the batteries right. And there's something else that most people don't even think about, which is there aren't batteries on the electrical grid. Like when you turn on your faucet, water comes out because water's been waiting there in the pipes. But when you turn on your light, electricity has to be generated for you right now. There's no such thing as a pipe where it's been sitting waiting. It has to be generated in real time. So solar power and wind power are never going to be a big thing until we have some way to store the solar power when the sun isn't shining or the wind power when the wind isn't blowing. And so right now there's this multi-billion dollar industrial race to invent something that could store that solar and that wind power and to time shift it. And same thing with the electricity we use now. As you can imagine, everybody uses electricity when they get home from work till the time they go to bed, but no one's using it at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the wind blows, at night. So it's basically wasted. Electricity is so cheap at night that these utility companies literally burn it off. They waste electricity on purpose because nobody wants it and they have no way to store it. So anyway, so the bottom line is those were the three missions of the show originally, you know, electronics, cars, and the grid. And then in the fall, the whole Samsung thing happened with all the batteries blowing up.
Yeah.
So really the timeliness of the show sort of fell into our laps, but we did suddenly make a big, you know, adjustment of the course to talk about the explosion problem.
By the way, what was the problem that Samsung had, and only with the Note 7, that they hadn't had with other devices, and I've never heard of it with, like, iPhones or anything like that?
That there actually have been iPhone fires. All lithium-ion batteries, all of them, are filled, you're not going to believe this, I couldn't believe this, are filled with liquid. They are filled with basically kerosene. They are filled with a flammable, highly flammable, pressurized liquid. You are walking around with a bomb against your thigh.
That sounds like a bad idea.
It really does. And what stops it from blowing up is, first of all, the controlling circuitry that governs how much it's charged and how much it's discharged. And, of course, the fact that they try to make this stuff extremely pure so there are no little particles that could cause it to short circuit. But if you go to YouTube and you look up battery explosions, you'll find all these videos of people poking their phone batteries with a screwdriver or a rake or something, and they blow up. I mean, they blow up with the least you know, if there's a short circuit, if it's impure, if they're overcharged, if they overheat, there are all these things that can make them blow up. In Samsung's case, as you may remember, there were two rounds of this. Like the first Note 7s started blowing up because they had bad batteries from one of their suppliers. This liquid inside probably had impurities. So they switched to another supplier, and in the world's worst perfect storm, the second supplier's batteries also were unstable.
Oops.
So that was like double lightning striking. So anyway, so one of the coolest things, and you can tell me if I'm, you can literally tell me that's enough about batteries, but one of the coolest things we did in the show is we found this guy. He's a Tufts professor of materials science. He's not even a battery scientist. He's a plastics expert. And he looked at all this and he said, well, why would we have flammable liquid in our batteries in the first place? Surely there's something else that could permit ions to go back and forth in a battery besides liquid. And he came up with this new plastic that is solid. There's no liquid to it. It's a sheet. It just looks like a piece of film. But ions can go back and forth through it just like they could swim through the liquid, and the thing doesn't catch fire. I mean, you can, in fact, we did. We tried to light it with a grill lighter and just held the flame against it. This thing will not ignite at all.
Okay, so why aren't we using those in our phones?
We are.
We are?
The day before we visited with our cameras, Samsung had been there. So, I mean, right now it's just in the process of scaling up, but, I mean, they have to come up with a factory. And I'll just throw one more nerdy battery fact in here. We call them lithium-ion batteries. They don't actually have lithium, the metal, in them, and it's a shame because lithium metal holds from 2 to 5 times as much charge as lithium ion juice does. And the reason we don't use lithium metal is because it's even more explosive than the stuff we're using now.
Ah.
So it would just be way too dangerous. So what this guy with the plastic separator is saying, well, wait a minute. If there's no liquid, if there's a permanent wall between the two sides of the battery, go ahead and use lithium. Why not get double the charge out of every charge? It can't explode. It can't catch fire. Let's go for it. So the only reason we're not already seeing these batteries is that there's no mass factory that's ever made lithium metal batteries before. So they kind of have to gear up to scale up. But I'm really confident.
All right, but when you speak of big factories, all I can think of is this announcement Elon Musk made a couple of years ago that he was going to build this gigafactory, which I think they're building now in Nevada, aren't they?
It is. It'll be the biggest building by square footage in the world.
And is it going to use this new plastic stuff from this professor?
Nope. It's going to be traditional lithium ion.
Well, why are we doing that?
Well, mainly because this guy at Tufts with his plastic battery had never told anybody until our cameras came. We were the very first press. So I have a feeling there will be a lot of transactions with this guy very soon. So the bottom line is Elon Musk didn't know about it.
Okay. Well, he should make a phone call to Elon Musk and license it to Samsung, license it to Tesla and Solar City and all the rest of these. Will this new plastic stuff that you're talking about, will it serve as a good storage device for the wind and solar power you were talking about before?
You know, in general, no, because those kinds of
batteries... Don't make the phone call. Cancel the phone call.
but for cars and electronics, yes. And by the way, Paul, you have to just help me do a reality check right here. Like I'm so into
this stuff.
Is this really boring? Is this really like, are your listeners going to be, oh my God, there's this guy talking about chemistry?
I'm into it.
Okay, that's all that matters.
Okay.
But we did do a ton of research into what could solve this wind and solar problem. And this really isn't boring. This will blow your mind. So the reason you can't use regular rechargeable batteries is A, they're very expensive. B, they, as you know from your phone, you can only charge that iPhone, you know, 400 times before it starts not being able to hold charge.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about grid batteries, those need to last 30 or 40 years. We can't be replacing enormous banks of lithium batteries every year.
Or if you have an electric car, you don't want to have to put a new battery in that every year either.
Well, that's right. So for the grid, we visited, for example, this company, and there are several, who are making flywheel batteries. This is the craziest thing. Imagine a 5,000-pound steel disc. Looks like a stainless steel hockey puck that's been blown up to 100 times its size, spinning at 8,000 RPM, levitating by a magnet so that there's no friction, and placed inside a vacuum canister so there's no air friction. And so here's the idea. At night, when electricity is free or cheap, they spin this thing up to 8,000 RPM, and then during the day, when people turn on their air conditioners, that spinner motor turns into a generator and turns the spinning kinetic energy back into electricity. So, in other words, this thing is storing energy not through chemicals like a battery, but through spinning, and it's basically time shifting. And so PG&E, California's largest electric utility, just bought 2,000 of these things.
Wow!
As a trial, those are flywheel batteries. And another one, this is so insane, but it works. Ice batteries. This another company makes. They look like kiddie swimming pools, like above ground swimming pools, like maybe 10 feet by 6 feet and 5 feet tall. And that's all it is. It's a big bathtub. At night, when energy is cheap and free, they fill it. They have it filled with water. They freeze it into a giant blob of ice. And then during the day, when it's hot, and all these people turn on their air conditioners, they pump the refrigerant for the air conditioner through this ice. And as it thaws, it supplies cold to your air conditioner. So basically, any company that puts one of these things on their roof gets free air conditioning during the heat of the day, and they use no electricity.
Well, they need the electricity to freeze the water into ice at night.
Well, that's right, but remember, at night,
it's
electricity
cheap.
Is almost free.
Yeah.
They're wasting it.
Wow.
Generally. So this is another way to time shift during the day. Anyway, so for something that's as sounded as boring as a show about batteries, it turns out to be really cool.
It's not boring to me, and by the way, if you are bored, you at least learned one important thing here today. Do not poke your phone with a rake. or it will blow up. I don't know how somebody said, well, I have a phone and I have a rake. What will happen if I bang these two things together?
Oh, dude, they're all over YouTube. There are so many videos. I mean, you can imagine, you know, college kids with their pocket knife going, look at me, it's blowing up, you know.
Okay.
It's a popular activity.
All right. Now, before I let you go here, I got to talk to you about a couple of other things. Number one, you may be the only person who can answer this question that I asked a friend the other day, and he just shrugged his shoulders. Here's the question. Does anybody care about Google Glass anymore, or is that fad completely behind us?
Well, I mean, it was a flop. Not as a technology story, but as a social story. You know, people, there was this, you know, smugness involved in wearing them. There was a word for it, people who had them. Can I say it on the air?
No.
They called them glass holes. But, yeah, so Google took it off the market. And they said about a year ago that they planned to rework them, and they would put a light on that told you when you were recording, because that made a lot of people uncomfortable, that you could be filming all the time and people wouldn't know it. They would have folding earpieces, which the original did not, so you couldn't really store it. They said they were going to rework it, but we haven't heard a peep, so I'm guessing it's kind of dead for
me. Yeah, I just remember the enormous hype that was behind Google Glass when it first came out. I think it was introduced at a CES, and people were just amazed. Oh, my goodness. And I looked at it and I went, nobody's going to buy this because nobody's going to wear that and walk around without everybody else making fun of them, which turns out to be exactly what happened.
Oh, man, you called it. You totally called it.
Speaking of CES, you were there a few weeks ago, and I know you were reporting on it for Yahoo Tech. Here's the question I have for you about this year. CES, David, was there anything there that you would spend your own money on? Not get the free demo from the company, but David Pogue reaching into his pocket and saying, yeah, this is worth my dollars.
Usually I would say no. They're always plugging new kinds of TVs and new kind of virtual reality headsets that I wouldn't want. But the big trend at this year's CES caught everybody by surprise, and it was Amazon adding their Alexa voice control to everything, to cars and dishwashers and thermostats and light bulbs and vacuum cleaners. And, you know, like Ford has added it to their cars. So you can say, Alexa, open the garage door, you know, or, you know, Alexa, set the temperature to 68 degrees and things like that. So I guess it's cheap for companies to build that feature into their products because, I mean, hundreds of companies were. And I think that, I think that's going to be a thing. I mean, our houses will be filled with these voice control. Here, I have a list. I wrote a list. So refrigerators, light switches, power strips, lamps, speakers, vacuums, satellite boxes, TVs, headphones, security cameras, door locks, air purifiers, washer and dryers, shower heads, and cars all have this built in now. So when you go to bed, you're snuggling into the covers. You just say, Alexa, lock the house.
Okay.
And all the doors are locked.
I got to stop you, David. Washers and dryers and dishwashers, we need to have voice controlled. We still have to use our hands to put the things we want washed inside the device, but we're too exhausted after that to reach over and start hit the start button?
No, Alexa, load the dishwasher.
Well, no, not Alexa, load the dishwasher, but Alexa, is the dryer done yet? You know, so you know if you need to go upstairs.
I'm too lazy to get out of my recliner and walk over to where that is in my house and listen for the sound of the laundry going around. I can't do that anymore. I need to have an AI presence that explains to me that the washer is done or
Alexa,
the dryer.
Fold the clothes.
Yeah.
Well, we chuckle, but you wait. You come back in 5 years and you'll see. The houses are going to be voice controlled.
I'm calling Google Glass on you.
Oh, are you really?
Yes.
But you know there's going to be some sort of robot that you'll go, Alexa, load the dishwasher, and it'll load the dishwasher.
No, I'm calling Google Glass on that, too. This is my new phrase, David. I'm not saying that we won't have a lot of people buying the newest extensions of Amazon Echo and Google Home and all the other artificial intelligence devices in the home. I just don't think we're going to be using it for our appliances, like our dishwashers and washers. And what am I going to tell my refrigerator to do? Stay cold. Keep my food cold. I got it. Taken care of.
No, but how about Alexa, make it 2 degrees warmer in here? You wouldn't enjoy that? No,
well, that's your thermostat. That's different than an appliance, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, come on. Because, that's an appliance?
Well, no, but on my phone now, we just had a new furnace put in our house, and we now have a Wi-Fi thermostat in our house. And so before I go home, I can have it start warming up the house because we keep it at a cooler temperature during the day.
That's right.
That's very important to do. There's no time where I'm thinking to myself, okay, before I go home, I have to turn on the dryer.
All right. Well, wait. What about the dish satellite tuner? Now they've got Alexa in there. So you can say, Alexa, I want to watch Rambo. And boom, it's on. Or Alexa, give me Saturday Night Live. Boom, it's on. That's cool, right?
Yes, that is all of that voice command stuff that is coming into those kind of devices, I can understand, but not in your home appliance.
Are you in the bathroom? Alexa, I'm done.
I think it's the dryer that got you hooked up.
Absolutely is. David Pogue's new Nova special is called Search for the Super Battery. It's going to air Wednesday night on Channel 9 in St. Louis and the rest of the PBS stations across the country. He's also online at Yahoo Tech. And he also has a new book about the new operating system. If you're a Mac owner like I am, if you've upgraded to the newest one called Sierra, give me one tip that I should know that'll be really cool that I can start using that I probably don't know about Sierra now.
Well, the big thing about Sierra is they've added Siri to the Mac. So if you use it for nothing else, use it to open your apps. Just say, Siri, open Microsoft Word. Siri, open Safari. It's way faster than digging through your apps folder.
Yeah, you know what I like to do? I like to say, Siri, tell my Amazon Home to turn on the dishwasher.
Siri, ask Alexa if the dryer is done yet.
Always a pleasure, David. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
That's David Pogue. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.